Let's start by reading a verse from Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. In the margin of my Bible, the word opened, it's given Hebrew, dig. Mine ears hast thou digged. Now this passage is quoted in Hebrews 10. I just read the quote from it. It's quoted a little bit differently. In Hebrews 10, verse 5, Wherefore, when thou comest into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. I was noticing the expression in our readings over and over again, He that hath an ear, let him hear. It's a beautiful connection that when the Lord Jesus came into this world, He took a body. That body was prepared Him. The Hebrew of that in Psalm 40 says, Mine ears hast thou digged. And what I'd like to talk about this afternoon and the little while we have together is the subjection of Christ and the authority of Christ, and then ours as derived from Him. The word that is often translated in our Bibles, obedience, means literally to hear under or to hear subjectively, dependently. The word that is translated disobedience, very similar word, is to hear alongside of. And that's the only difference is in the preposition that's attached to the word, to hear. The Lord Jesus, He was given digged ears and opened ears every day. Every day He gathered fresh instruction from His Father, from Isaiah 50. Thou openest mine ear to hear as thee instructed, morning by morning. He gathered fresh instruction from the Father. It's beautiful that the Spirit of God says to us, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus, when He came into this world and became a man, He assumed a position and a condition that required obedience. And so he got digged ears. His ears were digged. His ears were opened to hear what God had to say to him. The only perfect man that was ever here in this world, the only one that ever heard submissively in everything. How oftentimes we have heard instruction given to us from our superiors. It may be our parents, may be our employer, it may be our older brethren in the assembly, and we have said, yes, but, and we do not hear subjectively. That's disobedience. To hear subjectively is obedience. And we see that in the perfect subjection of Christ. I really have it upon my heart to talk about authority. But before we can deal with that subject, we have to understand subjection. Because authority wielded apart from the principle of subjection is abused authority. It's misused authority. It becomes tyranny. And it becomes oftentimes unrighteousness. I have felt for a long time that when I've heard of the subject of authority in Scripture spoken of, I've felt that's one-sided, lopsided truth. It's not presented in the proper balance that we ought to have. There's such a thing as assembly authority. I have heard the subject of assembly authority pressed, and I felt oftentimes in hearing it, something's missing. The authority of a father, parental authority, father and mother over their children, that sometimes the way it's presented, and what I'm speaking on this afternoon, is ministry that I feel very much in need of myself. I hope you won't reject what is presented because you look at the vessel and say, who is he to give such truth? Because I'm conscious of failure in the very thing that I'm going to be speaking about. But I believe it needs to be spoken about. The Lord Jesus was the perfect subject one. And it is to him that God has committed the future reign of the kingdom. It is to that lowly subject one, to the one who, though he was in his deity, God over all, blessed forever, and yet he took up manhood. He came into the place where obedience and submission and subjection were proper to him, and he never got out of that place. When he was down here as a man, never got out of that place. He discharged that position of subjection perfectly. And God the Father, to that man, to that blessed one that has discharged that position, that responsibility in perfection, in lowly subjection, it is into his hands that he commits the kingdom. Everything will be placed under his feet. And we're really not qualified to exercise authority if we haven't learned to submit. Children, if you haven't learned to obey your parents and to submit to their authority, which is really the authority of God, because it is God who has vested them with that authority, you'll not be qualified later on to be a parent. If we haven't learned at work to submit to our superiors as employees to our employer, we wouldn't be qualified to become a manager and to be in a position of authority over others. If you, as a younger brother, do not know what it is to submit to the authority of those who are over you in the Lord, you won't be qualified to exercise that position of authority later on. We're all in a training period, and we need to learn subjection. That is what is necessary in the school of God in order to graduate into the position of authority. Every one of us, regardless of what our station in life is in subjection to someone. We're all citizens of this land, and we are subject to those who are over us, the authorities, the powers that be. Romans 13 says, be subject to the powers that be. Now, those who are in the place of subjection, like the Lord himself, when he came here, when he got those digged ears to learn and to hear subjectively, submissively, every instruction that the Father gave him. Let's look at him a little before we proceed. Let's turn to John's Gospel. We'll start with just a verse or two in John 4. We must proceed rapidly. There's much to cover. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. As we read some of these passages in John's Gospel, we will come across that expression, him that sent me, over and over and over again. He delights to refer to himself as the sent one of the Father. He had come to do not his own will, but the will of him that sent him. It was his meat to do that. It was his delight to do that. We read that in Hebrews and in Psalm 40. My delight is to do thy will, O God. So if you are in the place of subjection, if you're a son or a daughter in a family, if you are a wife to be subject to your husband, if you're an employee to be subject to your superior at work, a citizen to be subject to the government under which you live, one in the assembly to be subject to the action or the discipline of the assembly, our place is to be subject. But I want to get to the responsibility of those who are in the position of authority and how that authority is to be exercised. Because it was the Lord Jesus that showed us in perfection the path of submission and subjection in order that God the Father could elevate him to the position of authority and power in a coming day. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All of those sevenfold things are his by virtue of what he has won as a man down here in perfect obedience and subjection to his Father. Not by virtue of who he is in his own person, but he has won them because of his perfect obedience and subjection. Now we're to walk as he walked. We're to follow in his steps. He is our example. He is the one that has trod the pathway before us. And it's blessed, a blessed pathway. Let's turn to John 5. John 5, verse 17, Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, his own Father, making himself equal with God. It's striking that in all of these expressions that we're going to be looking at, where he's presented as the subject one, it's in the Gospel according to John that presents him in his eternal deity, in his eternal sonship. The very first verses of our Gospel bring that out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The eternal Son, the Word, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Upholder of the universe, he became a man. He came into the place of subjection to show you and me how to live in that place of subjection. For we're all in that place, no matter how high you have come, achieved in the ladder of success in this world. There's someone to whom you are accountable. Someone that is over you. So we're all subject to someone. We have to learn how to fulfill the role of subjection before we can properly discharge the role of authority. And I believe that one of the greatest sins that exists in the world today is the abuse of God-given authority. You see it in governments. I picked up a book at the Perth conference. It was about the Roman emperors, those that reigned and ruled over the Roman Empire. When Paul wrote Romans 13, be subject to the powers that are over you in the Lord, Nero was on the throne, one of the most wicked tyrants the Roman Empire ever saw. Tiberius Caesar was another. Terrible. These men were as close to being insane and possessed with their own importance and independence of anyone else that you can imagine. And yet, Paul said, be subject. So it's not a question of whether the authority over you is exercising that authority properly or not, calling upon you to be subject or not to be subject. We're called upon to be subject. You might say, I have a very unreasonable father, and I have to be subject to him. Yes, you do. You have to be subject to him. I have a very unreasonable husband. You mean I have to be subject to him? Yes, the Word of God says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. We haven't come to the other side of the truth that I want to get to, and the responsibility of those in authority to exercise that in a spirit of dependence. Well, let's go on. Verse 19 of chapter 5. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son. Whenever we read of the Son, it's his essential glory. The Son can do nothing of himself. Nothing from himself is a source, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He takes the place of subjection. And this is so much more forceful to us because it's in the Gospel of John where he's presented as the eternal Son. But he had become a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in that new position of dependence, he fulfilled it in perfection. He would not do anything from himself. That's the beauty of the four Gospels. Here's the man that never did anything for himself. He had those digged ears. He's the one that really had ears to hear, and he heard every word the Father gave him. And he obeyed it. He heard it submissively. And he obeyed it perfectly. Turn to John 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That was his meat. That was his delight. He says, I don't act from myself as a source. I do all from the Father. It was authority in submission. How knoweth this man speaks, they said, this man speaks with authority. And they couldn't understand it. He didn't have any degrees behind his name, but he spoke with authority. But it was always with submission, in submission to his Father, to do the will of the Father. That's why he was here. Chapter 8, verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He had that opened ear, that digged ear. He heard the instructions the Father gave given him, and he spoke those things. Everything that he spoke, everything that he did, was in perfect obedience to the Father. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Taught of the Father, he spoke those things. Verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. He delighted to refer to himself as the sent one of the Father. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Isn't that wonderful to be here to please another, not to please myself? not to do my own will. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he was here to please the will of him that sent him, the one who sent him. And everything he did and everything he said was with that in mind. Chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Chapter 10, and here is a very precious passage. Verse 17. Oh, how wonderful it is. Therefore doth my Father love me. He always loved him, but here now he speaks of a fresh motive for the Father to love his Son. Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Ah, you say, now there he's speaking from himself as the source. Let's go on. I have power or authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Yes, he had, being who he was, the eternal Son of God. He had the authority to lay his life down of himself and to take it again. But notice the last words of the verse. This commandment have I received of my Father. He did it in obedience to the Father's command. The Father told him, you lay your life down and take it again. And he did it. He had the power in himself to do it, to act independently of the Father, but he wouldn't do that. Never would do that. And when you do your own will and when you act independently, when I do my own will and act independently of God, I sin. That's what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. Independence of God. The Lord Jesus is our perfect example. Never did his own will. Trace his pathway in the four Gospels. Here's a man that never did his own will. It was his delight, it was his meat and drink to do the will of the Father. I didn't read the verse I'll quote it in John 6. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live on account of the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live on account of me. We live on account of him. We live for him. Paul says it in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. I live on account, as he lived, on account of the Father. And that's our portion. That's why we're here. Not to do our own will. He was here to glorify the Father. And so he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. He laid it down as an act of obedience and submission to the command of the Father. He had authority to lay it down and authority to take it again, but he didn't do it independently. He says, this commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, what a Savior. Chapter 12, I just want to pick out a few verses. Verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me.